This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Today's show is the fourth in a series called Creative Obstacles, a series about how our personality can get in the way of our creating. Today, in a show adapted from an essay in my book, A Writer's Paris, we look at the negative effects of looking too ardently at the past for models. The show is called Chasing Ghosts. Let's begin. In Paris, every old stone, every leafy vista, every glimpse of the Seine evokes a nostalgic reaction, some combination of love and ennui. Paris can make us think of Gertrude Stein, George Sand, or F. Scott Fitzgerald, and not of our novel in progress. This romantic reaction is right and proper, but it's also a trap, the trap of Paris as soulful museum, a place of anecdotes and literary attractions. If you are inclined not to write, or not quite sure what to write about, or just a little short of wherewithal, you will come to Paris looking for a Hemingway fix rather than an encounter with your own notepad. I don't care where Hemingway slept. I'm not drawn to locate the exact spot in the Luxembourg Gardens where he pilfered pigeons for dinner. What writers write interests me. I'm also interested in their lives and the exact nature of their heroism and foibles, in the stands they take, in their failures of nerve. What does not interest me, however, is that Joe's celebrity writer lived in this studio, or that a certain underappreciated poet frequented that café. How much more resonant is a cup of coffee at Les Deux Magots or Le Procope than the same cup of coffee at a charming café in your part of Paris? At Le Procope, the ghosts of dead poets and postmodernists adds nothing except 100% to the bill. I'm interested in the French physician and novelist Louis-Ferdinand Céline, who returned to his Parisian practice of medicine after a stint in Germany as a Nazi collaborator. He surrounded his home with barbed wire, posted guard dogs, and lacerated the Chinese instead of the Jews in his novel, the Jews posing less of a threat after the Holocaust. Céline, the phenomenon is fascinating, but I don't need to visit the spot where his guard dogs roamed. There's nothing wrong with cultural tourism. I make my own pilgrimage to Monet's Giverny with my daughters, and we have a splendid day. But our happiness has nothing to do with Monet's house and gardens, and everything to do with the ice cream cones we eat sitting on a stone step, and the way the day's sharp light will affect our future work. When you wake up in Paris each morning, let your first thought be, "Where will I write?" and not, "Whose ghost shall I stalk?" If Hemingway is important, it is because what he had to say still touches us. But is it important that on this exact spot, now smack in the middle of a fancy mall, he had onion soup after a night of debauchery? Hardly. The past is no substitute for the present. Love the 1440s, love the 1680s, love the 1920s, love any epoch that touches your soul. But start each day focused on your writing and not on your literary maps. In her book, Found Meals of the Lost Generation, Recipes and Anecdotes from 1920s Paris, Suzanne Rodriguez Hunter describes her unsatisfying experience chasing literary ghosts. She explains, "Like many others with a literary bent and a passion for the expats, I often toured the Montparnasse hotspots of yesteryear. I dallied on the sidewalk before the ancient building where Ernest and Hadley Hemingway first lived in 1921. I stood outside 27, Rue de Flores, imagining Gertrude Stein's studio, hung floor to ceiling with the most explosive art of the century. This was all great fun, but something was missing. I was on the outside looking in. I resigned myself to this fact until one day I stumbled onto a way I could participate here and now with there and then. Her participation was to research and write her book. It is only by participating, that is, by creating, that cultural tourism makes sense to the writer. You may go to a famous cafe, but you go there to write. You may fill your head with anecdotes of the lost generation, but only if those anecdotes constitute grist for your mill. You may sleep in a room in which Hemingway slept, but so as to dream your own work. Adopt this orientation whenever you travel. Less tourist, more artist. It is great to understand the past and enjoy what's come before, but your job as a creator is to work in the present, right now, on your own creations.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
Before I go, I wanted to tell you about a great offer from Audible, one of my show's sponsors. You'll definitely want to take advantage of this offer. Audible offers over 40,000 books that you can listen to from your computer, your portable device, or your car. Right now, by taking advantage of this special offer, you can get a free book download that's as much as a $25 value if you sign up for a 2-week trial membership. Audible has excellent creativity selections like the audio version of Corporate Creativity, one of the top books on how innovation really happens in corporations. I love this book and highly recommend it to you. And there are lots of other creativity books to choose from, as well as a wide variety of fiction and nonfiction books. So visit Audible right now. You'll be helping this show and treating yourself in the bargain. Take a minute and go to audiblepodcast.com/create and get your free download. That's audiblepodcast.com/create. Do check out this offer. That concludes today's show. I invite you to come back next week for another episode in the series. To subscribe to The Joy of Living Creatively, please visit personallifemedia.com, where you'll also find my blog. You can drop me an email at eric@personallifemedia.com, and I hope that you'll visit my website to learn more about my books and services. That's ericmaisel.com, ericmaisel.com. Thank you for listening.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.